Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I have with me Dawn.
Hello.
And it's a pleasure to introduce to VI Talk for the first time, Tom, who is one of the founders of VentureForce. Hiya, Tom.
Good evening.
How are you, Tom?
Hi there.
Yeah, good, thank you. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself first, Tom?
Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, I'm an ex-policeman. I did 10 years in the police in London. And while I was there, I realised that where my parents lived in Scotland, the police, the Grampian police, had their own mountain rescue team. So it was my aim from that point on to transfer up there and join the rescue team, which in the end I was successful in doing. During my time in the rescue team, I managed to get some outdoor qualifications. And at one point, one of my colleagues said to me, "You're very well having these qualifications, Tom, but you don't use them." So I started leading expeditions, taking people all over the world. And, after my first expedition, that changed the way I looked upon things. And ever since then, it's been my ambition to run my own expedition company. And since 2010, that's exactly what we've done. So I now have led something like 130 expeditions around the world to various different destinations. And it's definitely in my blood. I really believe in what we do.
Okay, so do you want to tell us a little bit about VentureForce? How did you get the idea? You said earlier that you're one of three founders. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the group and how you came to have the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. While I was in the mountain rescue team, I worked with a guy, Graham McDonald. He's one of my co-directors. He was a deputy head teacher at one of the schools in Aberdeenshire. And I led expeditions for his school, and the two of us went on the expeditions together for another company, one of our competitors. And after a few of these, we decided that in actual fact, you know, we liked the ethos, we liked the idea of the expeditions itself, but we didn't like the way the expeditions were being run. The problem that we could see was the fact that not only were these expedition companies too big to consider the school, but they wouldn't have known who the parents were, and they definitely wouldn't have known who the students or the other students they took away. We wanted an expedition company that was small enough that we could speak to everybody, that they'd feel happy to call us on the phone, a real personal touch. And that's what we set up back in 2010. So the other director is an ex-school friend in primary school. He worked in the banking sector, so had some idea of how to manage a company, and we set it up together 10 years ago, and it's been pretty successful up until now. But I suppose the aim that we wanted to do was to keep it small. So one of our strap lines is big enough to cope and small enough to care. We never wanted to get big enough that people just get lost in the system. But obviously we are fully accredited and licensed to deliver expeditions exactly the same as the bigger companies as well. So far we've achieved in our goals with the company.
Where have you actually been at the moment? Where do you travel to? What's your main places that you travel to at the moment?
In actual fact, I mean, if someone contacted us and asked us to lead an expedition to a certain place, we could do that for them. But our expeditions take us to Africa, to South America, Central America, Southeast Asia. We have been to Alaska on two occasions and Iceland, but they're mainly to developing world nations. Why would we go to somewhere in Europe when it's exactly the same as the UK? We want our clients to experience something completely different. You know, we love the countries that we go to. We love the people that we work with. In each country, we have an in-country agent that we're personally friends with, and they help us to plan the expedition. So the whole aim of our expeditions is that they find something out about the countries they go to and the people that they work with and live with out there. So, you know, it's a passion, the countries we go to.
And have you actually had any visually impaired people on any of your expeditions yet?
No. Back when we led our first trip to Everest Base Camp, we were successful in getting all the team to the top, and I was walking back down on my own. I think the team were about 500 yards behind me or something like that. And as I came around a corner, there were two Asian ladies walking towards me. I quite like talking to people, so I stopped and was chatting to them. And it transpired that one of the ladies, they were sisters, one of the ladies was blind. And I started to speak to her and said, "I hope you don't think I'm rude, but you know, why would you want to go to Everest Base Camp?" And she said, "Well, why do you think that I don't have exactly the same goals as you?" And from that point on, it completely changed the way I look upon things. From that point on, we've always wanted to run a trip to Everest Base Camp for people with visual impairment. We set up a team back in 2018. We advertised it and got enough members for a team, but not just visually impaired people, sighted people as well that wanted to take part in the expedition. Unfortunately, due to COVID, we should have been there. We should have been just coming back just now. COVID's delayed it another year, which has given us more time to advertise it. And we've had quite a few people, well, 20 on this particular expedition and some for the next one, that are interested in working with us. So I suppose where it started from is my eldest son has special needs. He has a condition called Fragile X. And right from the outset, when it was diagnosed, the doctors said that he wouldn't be able to do various things, such as tie your own shoelace and swim and things like that. And my wife and I at the time never believed that he should be held back by anything like that. And he proved everybody wrong and ended up competing in the Special Olympics in 2003 and won a gold medal and two bronze. So it's always been very much part of what I do and what our company does that, you know, we're there to enable people, not to put people off. Which is why we've come to wanting to lead expeditions for people with visual impairments.
Fabulous. That's amazing. And well done to your son. That's incredible.
Good for him. In the family, and he's pushed me far to the back.
I know, good for him. That's a great attitude.
I never got anywhere near that.
Brilliant.
That's
what
right.
Do you envisage as being the problems with visually impaired people going on the expeditions? What do you think?
Having led the expedition, this particular expedition, five times, I don't see there being a problem. We ran a training weekend back in February last year for most of the team and some of the sighted people as well, and it completely changed everybody's outlook on what we thought would be the problems for people. In actual fact, the people with visual impairment were more concerned about the way that we described the scenery around them, so they could get a feeling for what was going on. Their capacity to manage the ground underfoot far exceeded what we thought, you know. And we envisaged that we'd actually be leading them, you know, hand in hand up the mountain. It wasn't like that at all. I also thought that they would like to have a particular guide the whole time, or a sighted person to work as a guide the whole time. And that completely changed, because they said, no, what we'd like to do, in actual fact, is to walk as a group. And then I could walk with David for half an hour, and then Sue for half an hour, and then Steve, and get to meet everybody. So, you know, as I say, I don't see there being a problem, especially having worked with the people.
And so what have you guys had any sort of training to, you know, sort of visual awareness training? Have you undergone any courses for that or anything so that you're, you know, able to guide properly and things like that?
No, which is why we're running the training weekends. We'll have another two training weekends before we go away. The first one was that we wanted to establish just that, is how we would manage this particular group and get their feedback on it. So that's what we're working on, and we'll have another two training weekends to expand on that. So the answer is no, we've had no formal training, and we intend to learn on the hoof with this first team.
So they'll soon knock you into shape, that's for sure.
Well, they did on the first training weekend. Like I said, it was they were a great example to everybody, and we all learned from them. So, yeah, it was very, very good, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So what other, you said before that you're open to any ideas if somebody came to you and said, oh, I'd like to do an expedition. So do you always do, are they always large groups, or do you do some smaller groups as well?
No, we do smaller groups. I mean, the group we're taking away is 20 people in total, so 10 with a visual impairment and 10 sighted people, and then the expedition leaders that go with it. But, you know, it's always been a thought of mine that, you know, not everybody wants to challenge themselves physically. And a lot of people want to get involved in our project expeditions, where we go to villages in various countries around the world, and we work on a project that's been developed with the local community. For instance, you know, in Ghana, we've installed water purification devices in villages, about four of those. We've built community toilets, and we actually built an orphanage with students from the UK over a period of about 6 years. So we've always been amazed exactly what people can do. And these are opportunities for people that, you know, don't want to walk 15 miles a day, that aren't international athletes. It's just someone that wants to put their abilities and their drive into helping or working with somebody else. So, no, very much so. If we had a group of people that approached us and said we'd like to go to Malawi or somewhere like that and put the project together, we could do exactly that. As I said, we've got in-country agents in many, many countries around the world that help us to put together expeditions that suit the people's needs. So, for example, if one of the groups said we'd like to whitewater raft in Nepal, we've got the capacity to do that, to take part in turtle conservation projects, which is something we're very interested in. We realise that we've been very lucky to travel around the globe, you know, and we want to do our part to preserve and conserve the wildlife and the environments around the world. So we take teams to the likes of Costa Rica, Malaysia, and doing turtle conservation as well. We can do that in Gambia, and also orangutan conservation in Sumatra. So we feel that we've got expeditions to suit everybody's needs. If it was hands-on physical work, you know, to develop a project, we could suit that. If they want adventure, we can do that as well. You know, if they really want to get up and close with wildlife in various countries, we can do that. So we work very hard to make sure that it suits the need of the particular group.
Sounds amazing.
It does, especially the orangutans.
I know, I was thinking that.
Well, the hard part's been sitting here this year. You know, we had to cancel 20 expeditions, and ordinarily, you know, we would be away leading expeditions, and it's been very difficult. You know, and I suppose what has hurt the most is that students that we work with and teams that we work with for 2 years to get to this point have had to have their trips cancelled. And, you know, it's not nice. You know, they put a lot of effort, a lot of drive into it. But it's not just them that suffer, the communities that we go to. Yeah. You know, they would expect the teams to come out there, and we live in the communities and work with them. They're missing out as well. So, you know, it's not just us that suffer, it's everybody. So I suppose at Venture Force, we ought to shut up, because we're not the only ones that suffer the result of it.
No.
You know, as soon as we can, as soon as the restrictions are lifted and people can travel, we want to go back to these communities and support and work with them again, definitely.
So what is the cost involved with with Venture Force? What kind of prices are people looking at?
Okay, our expeditions vary in length from 7 days. We take teams and do a science project out in Gambia, ranging right up to month-long expeditions, and dependent on the components that we put into it. So if you're away for a month with whitewater rafting and trekking in the mountains and a project and horse riding through the Mongolian steppes and things like that, you know, an expedition could be between £3,700 and £4,000. But as low as, and I know they're not cheap, £2,200 to go to Gambia or Ghana for a 10-day project. But each of the expeditions, we feel it's critical that they have expedition leaders, and not just one, they have two expedition leaders on each trip. So it wouldn't be a case of the group, you know, make their own way, then fly across and are met by a guide out there. It's very much a case of, you know, we're a big family. We work together, so they meet the leaders beforehand. And travel out with the leaders, and leaders are part of it for the whole trip. There's obviously comprehensive insurance during it. We run an operations room to cover any emergencies. That's UK based, but there for the leaders when they're out there. So there's an awful lot we put into it. So we think, you know, although they're not cheap, they're good value for what you get out of it.
Once in a lifetime experiences as well, though.
Yeah, I have to say though that it's down to the individual. You know, it's what they put into it.
Yeah.
You know, if they go out there as like a big sponge and take in everything that's provided for them, you know, and get to know the communities and find out about the culture and the heritage, you know, end up dancing and drumming and things like that. The more they put into it, the more they take out of it. But I think right from the outset, people that sign up for this sort of thing are that sort of character anyway. So we don't ordinarily have anybody that's disappointed. They come back, you know, having enjoyed it and thinking about the people that they've left behind in these countries. It's the passion that we put into it. You know, we know what people can get out of these things.
Yeah.
And it's just encouraging people. And my thoughts are that, you know, there must be so many people that are visually impaired out there that think that they're not capable of doing something like this, and there's nobody there to help them. And we're very much wanting to do that. You know, we take people all over the world. They've got various medical needs. And we work very hard to make sure that we have a plan that fits them to enable them to go, not just to turn around and say, no, you can't come on our trip, you know, because it's important. They need to know that, you know, the world's there for them. It's not cut off now. You know, it's what they make of it.
If somebody was to come on a Venture Force expedition, would they need to? I know you said with the Base Camp Everest one that you've got sighted people. Are they the sighted people, just people that have happened to want to go on that expedition as well, or do the visually impaired people need to bring their own guide?
No, so we just advertise the expedition. and said that it included people with visual impairments. And we had such an influx of sighted people that just wanted to take part in it, because especially after the training weekend, because, you know, they realized that the drive and the enthusiasm of the people with the visual impairment is infectious. Mm-hmm. And they felt moved by it and wanted to be part of the team. They then spoke to their friends and it just spread from there. So no, definitely not. No, our aim is to, for these expeditions to have an equivalent number of sighted people that are passionate about what we're trying to do, excuse me, and want to be part of it.
That's great. So somebody who was on their own, who didn't have somebody to go on holiday with, or, you know, to do something, have an adventure with, they could come to you and have that adventure.
Absolutely.
And meet other people in the process as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
What a great experience.
Brilliant. Yeah, fabulous.
Experience. We feel so. Like, we don't have experience with people with vision impairment up until now, but, you know, we've got so much experience in these countries and so much desire in the team to do this that I can't see it being anything else other than a success. I really can't. And with a group of people, it's just, we found it very inspiring to be with them. So I'm sure on the trip it will be as well.
So if people want to get involved or get more information from you guys, how do they do that?
Okay, very, very simply. I mean, we're on duty all day, so there's a telephone number. So it's a Melton Mowbray number, whereas where I live, which is 01664 490 453, and that will take you through to the office. And we have a website, which is Venture Force Limited. But essentially, what we'd like people to do is to phone us, you know, because we want to get to know people, find out what their needs are, find out what they want from their expeditions. And if we don't have one that suits that, that's in the schedule, then we look at putting something together for them. So it's definitely a case of, we encourage people to actually speak to us. You know, so the website's there for them to look at and get a flavour of what we do and what we've got on. But we're very much a case, it's very much a case of, speak to us and we can help you to fit you within a team that suits your needs, or to build an expedition for you as well.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. And that's, I think, okay. It's a fabulous idea. Yeah. And something mainstream that you're not saying, you know, you can't do it. You're saying, come and get involved, and which is just always really nice brilliant. To hear.
Refreshing.
Well, thank you very much for contacting me. I was really pleased with your response. Thanks for getting in contact with us. You know, it's the problem is knowing how to access people, you know, to how to contact people.